Marla.
Hey guys, this is Fantasy Sports Today. Thanks for tuning in to the Happy Fantasy Friday. Sports Network live here from Toronto, Ontario. Yes. It is, in fact, Friday. This is, in fact, Chris Meaney. I'm Ashley Docking. We're glad that you could join us for this fantasy journey we're about to embark on.
Ooh,
you like that?
Yeah,
that,
I'm excited.
Like, enough of a tease,
yeah.
Like, looking forward to some things. We're going to have Howard Bender, who's always entertaining. He's from Fantasy Alarm. We're going over some Super Bowl props that include the usual stuff, overs and unders, but also some halftime stuff. And then we're going to talk about the Puppy Bowl, which I know Howard is really,
really excited
for. And then also, Steve Gardner from USA Today is coming on, and we're continuing our coverage on the FSTA baseball draft that took place last week in Nashville. So we're going to talk to him a little bit about his squad and get some strategy from him. I really am interested to hear what he has to say about relief pitchers, because I feel like their role in fantasy has really changed as their role on the field, or the diamond, I guess, has changed over the last couple of years.
Yeah, and he was he also took a catcher, the first guy to take a catcher, so we'll talk catcher strategy.
Catcher strategy, absolutely. Yeah. But first, we're going to talk about the Super Bowl, of course, the big game, just a few days away now. And we spoke, actually, with Tom Brady and Dan Quinn in Houston after practice one day. We have some sound for them on for you guys here today from their press conferences. And Chris, we're going to start with Mr. Tom Brady, who divulged a little bit of information. I guess if you read in between the lines, he kind of alluded to the fact that when he was a younger pup, he might not have prepared or prioritized as well as he should have, which is something that he focuses on is now.
I love this sport, and I commit my life to playing it, and there's a lot of decisions that I make based on my lifestyle that help me play at this more experienced age than most. So I love doing it. And it's actually, you know, as you get older, it gets actually, I think, easier because, you know, you have priorities. And, you know, if one of my priorities is to try to be a great quarterback, you know, everything else kind of falls in line. So, you know, when I was younger, there were different priorities. And, you know, when you're married and you have three kids and, you know, you have different priorities. So that's just what happens with life. I'm sure you guys realize that, too.
I wish he would have elaborated on those
different
priorities when he was younger. You know, when I was younger and I was married, I had different priorities.
I think one of his priorities was to make sure that he didn't say he was old, a more experienced age, which I absolutely love. Not just having more experience or older. He's at a more experienced age now.
So lots of priorities. Yeah. Lots of priorities for the Falcons to try to stop Tom Brady in this offense. So head coach Dan Quinn was talking, as well as just, you know, not really looking at the past. Yes, you can look at Tom Brady and you can see the resume and you see all the rings. This is his seventh Super Bowl. You see all of that stuff. But Dan Quinn, rather, he thinks that he has a squad. Not looking at the past, he thinks he has a defense right now to get it done on Sunday.
It's about this matchup for this game. There's nothing, you know, that we can look back to say, okay, well, back in 2002 or this. Like, for us, it's what can we do over the last 2 weeks to make sure that, man, are we ready to go attack? And so that's where our focus lies. We want to make sure we're playing at our best. And that's what we do at practice, to make sure the strain, the battle to get through to one another, because we're not going to change and make up a whole bunch of new defenses and new coverages over the, you know, the last 2 weeks. But what we can do is do what we do really well.
What he does really well is assertively double hand talk at the podium. And I know he said he doesn't want to look too far back, but you might want to look back at a few games this season just to prepare. And I love the fact that they're not going to change their whole offense. They're going to just do what they do and hope that they can do better than the Patriots. They're very confident in their capabilities, and I like to hear that.
Yeah, and, you know, they've been a much better defense in the second half, especially into the postseason too, you know, against Seattle. You've heard some Seattle players talk about their defense and how Atlanta kind of took them by surprise. They were able to, you know, force turnovers, and Alex Mack is a big part of that. And, you know, he's dinged up right now with a leg injury, and Dan Quinn is a little bit concerned with that. But at the end of the day, this is the Super Bowl. He's going to play. I'm sure there's a lot of guys, Julio Jones, there's probably a lot of guys on the New England side of things that are not going to be 100% in this game. But for Mack, and we'll talk with Howard Bender about him, because he's been just praising Mack all season long. He loves him. It's the reason why he liked the Falcons to go this far in the postseason. So Mack is terrific on that line, and you know what? He's going to play, but he's probably still going to be a factor, even though he's not going to be 100%.
And no one's 100% at this point exactly. in the season. I think that's fair to say. Thabo Sefolosha is not 100% either, yeah. as a hot Atlanta yeah. keeps on rolling. They just beat Houston last night on the heels, or on the back, I guess, of Tim Hardaway Jr.'s career night. 33 points, 23 of those coming in the fourth quarter, where Atlanta was down 20 points to Mr. James Harden, yeah. James Harden and the Rockets. He's very impressive. I think there's a lot to like with him. His last five games in particular, he's been playing well above his season averages. But Chris, do you think that his long-term value is tied up with Sefolosha?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I think, you know, he's actually been really good, as you mentioned, a good source for threes. You know, some games with four threes, another one with three, and then kind of surprising is the assist totals. Mm-hmm. You see some games with eight assists, six assists, five assists, like Mack getting the offense rolling in Atlanta. Here we go with Hardaway Jr. You know, ever since Korver was traded, you know, it opened up a door for Hardaway Jr. Yep. to get some more playing time, to take those threes that maybe Korver took. So he's still widely available in leagues. I know people picked him up and they saw like a little bit of a cold spell and then they dropped him again, and mm-hmm. he's available. Sometimes these things just happen in basketball. Matchups don't go your way. You have a bad shooting night. Stick with these players. He can help you out the rest of the way, I think.
When he gets minutes, so there's been nine games this season where he's played 30 or more minutes. He's had over 15 points in all but three of those games. He had a 21-point outing, a 29-point outing. So he is going to get you a few different categories he's going to check off, which is always nice, especially yes. if you're picking him up. As you said, he's widely available
yeah.
off the waiver wire. I would just like to give a shout out to Dwight Howard. And I know on Roto World, they had like Dwight's Revenge as their headline.
Oh.
Full pause. This isn't a revenge game, first and foremost. He barely spent any time in Houston. Second of all, he's already been there this season.
Yeah.
He had a good game then. But his game in general, massive. 20 and 20. He went
yeah.
off. 24 points, 23 rebounds, 2 blocks, 3 assists. Give me a break. Dwight Howard, if you could play like this all the time.
Oh.
Charles Barkley wants to give LeBron James crap about not competing. Hello, Dwight Howard, compete.
I know.
You can dominate.
And Barkley, I think, has given his fair share of criticism yeah. to Howard over the years. It's just like the biggest, softest, biggest big man,
big man
is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah, Howard has this potential to put up 20-20. We've seen it before. It's just unfortunate he's been dinged up with injuries basically his whole career. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I don't want to give him a pass, but I guess I'll give him a pass. It's just slight. I'm pretty hard on athletes a lot here.
Pass.
And Howard's one of the guys I've been pretty bad on. Break next, but quickly, Spezza, he's out. He's going to miss some time. Barkov, Huberto are in tonight. So those guys you can pick up. Huberto, I just grabbed this morning.
Congratulations to Patrick Marleau, 500th career goal. Paul Stastny, 200th career goal. Congratulations as St. Louis beat the Leafs. They smacked him 5-1.
Stastny's another guy that you can pick up, and he's rolling right now.
We're rolling. We're rolling on. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Howard Bender is going to talk if he's Team Ruff or Team Fluff. Thanks for sticking with us on Fantasy Sports Today. As promised, we're going to touch on some props right now. It's one of the most fun things that you can do surrounding Super Bowl weekend besides watching the actual game.
Yeah.
They range from very serious to extremely silly.
Oh, yeah.
And so we have the perfect man to go over them with us, Howard Bender, a man of many talents, including football analytics, as well as being able to kind of give commentary on things that maybe aren't so serious.
And a new Nashville Predators fan, I see.
Oh, absolutely. I'm telling you, man, that FSTA trip, Chris, you representing the Fantasy Network out there for the FSTA draft, time of my life.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you had the time of your life?
Yeah, I appreciate
well,
it.
Well, you know, I got to, like, sit there and firsthand hang out with Chris Meaney. So, I mean, what could be better than that?
Were you as disappointed as I was?
I think you see a different side of Chris Meaney than
I
saw.
What? I think so, too. I think he's on his best behavior. Maybe he probably lets loose a little bit more with you.
And tries
to be a little bit more respectful, you know, sitting at the desk with you, having to put up with you kicking him in the shins on a regular basis.
I thought you couldn't see that. Anyways, moving on. I don't know what you're talking about, Howard. We got some props to get to. We're going to talk about the Super Bowl, the Patriots taking on the Falcons, of course. And I'm interested into, I guess, your insight and how you think this game script is going to go a little bit. And with that, our first prop, who do you think is going to catch the first pass, my friend?
Okay. So I definitely think this is going to be a very back and forth offensive battle here. Patriots pass defense, not that strong. They're good against the run. They don't do well against running back pass plays. First pass caught, Tevin Coleman coming out of the flat from Matty Ryan. I see the Falcons doing the same thing to the Patriots that they did to the Packers.
Which running back do you think will have the better day, Coleman or Freeman? I know it's not a prop, but
I kind of feel like the two of them are going to balance each other out. I don't see either one of them doing particularly well. I see LeGarrette Blount actually being the running back who ends up posting the most yardage in this game.
I agree with you. We did props in the office, and it was like yardage per quarterback, and you had to write down what you thought it was going to be. And I gave Matt Ryan about 50 or 60 more than Tom Brady, but I think the Patriots are going to win, but I think LeGarrette Blount's going to be a big factor.
Do you think
what? What was that?
That I think Matt Ryan's going to have more passing yards than Tom Brady, I think the Patriots are going to win.
Who's going to win?
The Patriots.
The Patriots.
Who?
The Patriots.
New England.
Oh.
You think Atlanta? Do you think Atlanta wins this football game?
Falcons, baby. Yes, I do think Atlanta's going to win this one. I'll put it at 31-27, Falcons.
All right. That's definitive. I like it.
That's like 31-27. My math is not great, but that's right at the number. You can't, like, this is not over, it's not under. It's right at the number. It's fair. That's fair. I liked it. It's solid. Okay, fair enough. Who's going to be the first player to catch a touchdown pass?
Mohamed Sanu, baby. Ooh. Did you see the way the Falcons used Sanu? Listen, the Patriots are arrogant enough to defer the kickoff in the first half. Falcons are going to end up marching down. The way the Falcons utilized Mohamed Sanu while Julio Jones was getting all covered, I think they're going to do the exact same thing. So I'm looking at Sanu as coming up with the first touchdown grab.
Good. Nice. We like that. I wanted Ashley was going to go somewhere
no,
first.
I
wanted to actually just follow up with that, with the flexing. Did you see Steph Curry last night flex and then he got ran over by DeAndre Jordan?
No.
It's a different sport. We might get to some cross-sport bets here in a second. But you mentioned Sanu, so I want to kind of just piggyback off that with Julio, and there's a prop out there in 6.5 catches for him. The yardage is high, I believe it's at like 94.5, but don't you feel like Julio, with those slant routes, those little quick passes that Matt Ryan can, you know, deliver, don't you think Julio is kind of a lock to get like 7 or 8 grabs in this game?
Oh, easily. Easily. I'll take the over on the number of catches for Julio Jones. I'll probably take the over on the passing yardage as well for him. I mean, even if, you know, anything over 95, I think is pretty simple for him to do. Well, you know, again, what's going to happen is that the Patriots are going to do their best to kind of neutralize Julio Jones. They're going to see the fact that Matt Ryan, who can throw it to 10 different receivers per game on a regular basis, they're just not going to have the personnel to cover Julio Jones the entire time, because then they're going to get burned by Sanu, Gabriel, both Devonta Freeman and Tevin Coleman coming out of the flat. You're looking at Austin Hooper, even Levine Toilolo, who worst tight end ever in fantasy history, is still going to come up with a pass, you know, a catch somewhere around there. So I just don't think that the Patriots secondary is going to be able to handle it, and that coverage that they're going to try and dominate Julio with early on is going to fade as the game wanes on.
Yeah, it's amazing. 13 different guys caught a touchdown pass from Matt Ryan. It's just unheard of, really.
Using all his weapons. Mohamed Sanu is going to drop the first touchdown pass anyway. combined touchdowns, please, between Brady and Matt Ryan. The prop is set at 7.5. You going over, you going under. We know your point total, but we don't know how you're going to get to these points.
I'm going to take the under on the number of touchdown passes. I'm going to say it's going to be it's probably going to be closer to 7. I'm looking at 4 for the Falcons. I'm looking at 3 for Tom Brady and the Pats.
All right, who cares about these football players? Let's talk about the real studs of Super Bowl weekend, and I'm talking about the Puppy Bowl. Team Ruff versus Team Fluff. This is the game that everyone is talking about, and I know you're really excited about it.
I'm super pumped about the Puppy Bowl. Actually, yes, on SiriusXM, I am doing the Puppy Bowl coverage. We're doing a live fantasy Puppy Bowl draft. It's me and Lisa Ann running the show. We've got WWE superstar Eric Young joining us. We've got from Football Diehards, Jersey Jen. We got a couple of special guests here and there. Ryan Boyko, the founder and CEO of Embark Vet. He's going to be doing it. And I've got a couple of really, really nice ones. I don't want to give anybody away as far as what my strategy is, but I will tell you this. The sleeper pick of the Puppy Bowl is Parfait.
Really? You think he's going to score a field goal? And isn't it crazy that we were talking about this? It is insane that a field goal is only worth 3 points, but a touchdown's worth 7 when a dog actually has to kick something over something. Like, I feel like a field goal should be 10. I don't think the points are weighted properly.
Technically, the puppy does not actually have to kick the ball in order to.
He could, like, whip it with his neck.
Well, it's a matter of, yeah, it's a matter of where the ball lands, if it does, you know, pop between the goalposts. So, no, listen, I mean, you know, it's a brutal field there. You've got a lot of good, strong breeds. You've got, you know, your Shar Pei's. You've got your lab mixes. You got some terriers that are really just going to kind of zip through. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Daphne. Oh, listen, you look at what you guys are doing. You guys are, you know, revealing a couple of my secrets here. But, yeah,
big fan of Glenn, are you?
No, I'm not as big a fan I am of Sable.
Oh, watch you like Sable.
How do you not love Sable? Any Husky mix in there? Any Australian Shepherd? Any Australian Cattle Dog mix? You're talking about these are ball hungry, love to run the, you know, run it down the field. So this is going to be an outstanding Puppy Bowl. Puppy Bowl 13 this year, guys. Going to be phenomenal.
Before we get out of here, I want to talk a little bit about a contest that you guys are running over at Fantasy Alarm. You want to plug that for a minute?
Oh, absolutely. FantasyAlarm.com. Yep. Jeff Mann's Ultimate Super Bowl Big Game Prop Bet. Free to enter. We've got a bunch of prizes. Yep, there it is right there on the screen. Listen, I mean, it goes from anywhere from who's going to score the first touchdown, what the combined score is going to be, what the attendance might be as a tiebreaker, and, of course, everybody's favorite. I want to get yours on this one, Ashley. What's the first song Lady Gaga is going to sing at the Super Bowl?
Okay, so I think she's going to start with Bad Romance.
Me too.
Just because it's like rah-rah, yeah, yeah, and it like really kind of gets you going. Yeah. I think there could be like a nice like pulse in the stadium.
Yeah, I agree.
That's what I think. That's, and I know it's the favorite too, so it's not original, but what about you?
It is. You know, I consulted my 15-year-old niece on this one. I find her to be the expert here. And I'm going to go a little bit contrarian. I'm going to go with Just Dance.
Just Ooh. Dance. Okay, that's nice. I think that the you're wrong, but it's nice. So also, like, I know this isn't a prop, and I know I'm not even going to phrase it as one, but how entertaining do you like? Do you think it's going to be entertaining? Yes or no? I'm going with no. I'm not excited.
You know, I'm not the hugest Lady Gaga fan, but you know what? Something always seems to happen in the Super Bowl. And we've actually got a couple of Lady Gaga prop bets based on wardrobe as well. So not saying malfunctions, just saying wardrobe. Come on, take it easy.
I think it's going to be entertaining. And I think the Falcons
like,
are going to win
like,
as well.
Speaking of wardrobe malfunction, I changed my mind. Entertaining, yes.
Absolutely. Yep.
All right, Howard, we got to get out of here. I'm getting yelled at by our producer. It's been very nice to talk to you as per usual. And I'll be sure to send you a tweet when the Patriots absolutely demolish the Falcons, okay?
All right. Love you, Chris Meany.
Love you too, buddy.
Bye, Howard.
Take care.
Always a pleasure talking to Howard Bender. Check him out on Fantasy Alarm, doing some great stuff over there. We're going to switch gears to MLB in just a little while, revisit the FSTA baseball draft on Fantasy Sports Today. This is Fantasy Sports Today. As promised, switching gears to MLB talk, and we have Steve Gardner from USA Today joining us now to discuss his FSTA baseball fantasy team. Chris was there to do a draft. We've talked about your team. Steve, now we want to hear about the guys you picked, and more importantly, why and strategy behind it. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Ashley. How are you guys?
Good.
Yeah, we're doing good, Steve. Thanks a lot for taking the time to join us today. Let's get right to it. Buster Posey, let's start with him. You got him in the fourth round. He's the first catcher off the board. We bring up your team here, Jose Altuve. You got Lindor, Cruz, Arrieta, Ramirez, Verlander. We'll get to Adam Jones, Eric Hosmer to round out your first 10 picks. But for Posey, was your strategy going in to take a top catcher? I don't know how you feel about them, but I feel like the top three are legit. And then after that, it gets pretty shady. But are you going to have Posey on majority of your baseball teams this year?
Well, I don't know. If he keeps falling to the fourth round, I think I certainly will, because that's a pretty good value. We took Posey the last year and the year before that, I think. So maybe I do. Maybe there's something about Buster Posey that I really like, especially in two catcher leagues. There's a huge advantage when you have somebody who can play every day and will play an occasional, you know, time at first base when he's not behind the plate, and will give you the kind of counting numbers that he gives you, plus the solid batting average and everything else that comes with it. So Buster Posey clearly in my book is the number one catcher in the game, and available there in the fourth round, it seemed like a no-brainer to me.
Yeah, he just dethroned Molina, I think, for the NL Golden Glove Award winner for the catcher's position. So his stock is on the rise. It's always funny when you have that one guy that just seems to find his way onto your teams.
Yeah.
We were talking about that. Chris's was Allen Robinson in football last year. He's just like, he's on my teams. I can't get away from him. When they fall to you, you just got to take him.
Yeah.
Jake Arrieta, did he fall to you, or was he someone that you were targeting and you're like, I want to make sure I get him to kind of bolster my starting pitchers?
No, I wanted to make sure that I got a solid ace, and Arrieta is one of those. And the fact that he was still available when he was, it was right at the cusp of the, you know, the first set of top-tier pitchers. Mm-hmm. And so in getting Jake Arrieta, you know, the Cubs play such great defense behind him that he's going to outperform his metrics. A little concerned about the walks that started showing up last season when he hadn't had that kind of a problem, but I think he can get those under control. And plus, you know, the Cubs are so good, they're going to provide him with lots of run support. And he's a pretty decent pitcher himself. So a good start there with the ace there, and followed it up with Justin Verlander. Not too bad.
Yeah, well, let's talk about Justin Verlander. You were on here before, about a month ago, Steve, when you were giving your early starting pitcher rankings, top 20. We talked about Verlander, and I asked you if you thought he could get back to, you know, pre-surgery. You know, he had the core muscle issue, but last year he looked good. He looked like the old Verlander. Do you expect that again this season? I mean, look at the K per nine sitting at 10.
Yeah, when we talked about him, I remember saying that I was very bullish on him. He was in my mind, the best pitcher in the American League last year, and the numbers show it. And I think the fact that he did get the strikeout rate back up, he did get the velocity, although he doesn't necessarily need it all the time because he's learned to pitch and not rely on throwing it 100 miles per hour. So I thought, you know, again, you're looking for value. You're looking for guys that have a long track record, at least this early. I didn't want to jump out on any limbs too far, which is, you know, the tendency that you might have. And you know, to look kind of smart, I think my team's kind of boring, to tell you the truth. But the fact is, guys that like Arrieta, like Verlander, like Buster Posey, you kind of know what you're going to get from them. And that was the strategy that I was employing in this draft.
I like that. Don't get too cute. Keep it simple. And Verlander is a guy that, you know, in 11 of the full seasons that he's been involved, minus his first one, he's pitched over 200 innings in 9 of those. And some might say that's a cause for concern. How much durability is he kind of throwing out his arm? But you mentioned he wasn't so worried about the velocity. He's pitching smarter. So it's a smart pick as well. I like it, Steve. Sticking in the same vein as pitchers, though, but on the relief side, has strategy changed a little bit? Because I feel like in baseball, relievers are getting used a lot more and in a lot different ways in the past few years.
Well, I think the closer situation, there are a few top-tier closers that you definitely want to target because you don't want to be playing the saves game on the waiver wire. I know they're free out there and they're easy to find and pick up, but it's still, if you miss on some of those, and I did that a lot last year in picking the wrong guy when it looked like he was going to close, I think you have to go with one of those top guys first, if at all possible. You know, the Aroldis Chapmans, Kenley Jansen, I include Mark Melanson, who we got in that category too. Really safe. You know they're going to have the job. They're going to have it all season long. Then maybe for your second closer spot, third closer spot, you can do a little bit of fishing. You can do a little speculation. But I think the way that pitchers were used, especially the relievers in the postseason, I don't know that we're going to see too many super relievers like Andrew Miller was, just because the talent isn't there. There are a few of those guys, Miller being one, Dellin Betances another, and another guy that we got, Raisel Iglesias, could be one of those who gets used in that two innings or more role. There aren't too many of them, and so, you know, they can provide a huge advantage, especially if they're good strikeout pitchers like those three are.
Yeah, Steve, we got to get out of here. We really appreciate your time. I thought Betances was terrific value in the 15th round a couple years ago. This was a top reliever, not even getting any saves. We appreciate your time. Good luck this season, and hopefully we can talk soon.
See ya.
Thanks, Chris. Good luck to you, and hope your team finishes second.
Appreciate that. I'll take second.
Thanks, Steve. Always so cheery. And Betances' deal, $500,000 or something, was a salary last year.
It's a bargain.
Wow.